All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Three Terrible Gamers Podcast. This is episode 124 here with Colin.
Hey guys.
All right, we have one from a couple weeks ago, actually. We never got to it, but I still wanted to go over it. So Nintendo issues a warning for unauthorized online play on the Wii U and 3DS.
So Nintendo shut down official network-powered Wii U and 3DS online servers last April, but fans haven't been willing to give up the favorite games that easily. While some simply kept their consoles for as long as they possible in the past, shut down to avoid disconnecting, others turned to alternative means like Pretendo. It's still a work in progress, but the open-source project is using clean room reverse engineering to recreate the official service established by Nintendo and has been usable for quite a while already. It worked on the 3DS family of consoles and the Wii U. The latter doesn't require a hacked console for it to function, although it's a feature many more limited if it's used in the normal non-jailbreak way. It's not clear what prompted Nintendo to speak out about Wii U Online replacements on its Japanese customer service Twitter account today. Well, you know, a couple weeks ago. It didn't specifically call Pretendo out, but the unofficial network service has now weighed in on the matter itself to an extent. It's actually on board with Nintendo's warning to say, "We understand Nintendo's warning. Always be cautious of what you're installing and do proper research."
Yeah. I mean, of course, Nintendo's always going to deter you from using any third party anything, you know, if it's not from them. But what else are people supposed to do whenever, you know, you shut down the online servers and people still want to play those consoles online? They're going to have to use third party. And Pretendo kind of answered back with that, saying that they are committed to user safety, and you know, they said obviously use it at your own risk, but they said that their tools and servers are open source and they are committed to user safety, going so far as to release security patches for games Nintendo themselves no longer supports. It says, you know, backing up that point, Pretendo says that it previously released security patches for Mario Kart 8 and Splatoon, fixing critical vulnerabilities several months before Nintendo released official updates. So, I mean, obviously due to trend risk, but it seems like Pretendo kind of has their own security that they watch for. I mean, obviously, there's always going to be flaws in security. There's flaws in Nintendo security, but that's why there's always patches to fix those flaws.
Yeah, and people have to think, too, that, or Nintendo has to think that it shut down online services for people that probably only have that console.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's people out there that don't have the Switch yet. They still play a Wii U, the very few that got a Wii U, or there's a crap ton of people that got the 3DS that still play the 3DS. So, mm-hmm. You shut them down. What else are they supposed to do to play online?
Yep, gotta go to a different company since you decided to shut yours down, basically.
Yep.
All right. So I'm sure they'll eventually say the same thing about Nintendo Life doing that online eShop themselves.
Oh, yeah. It's just Nintendo, you know. If it's not them, they don't want you to fool with it, which I could get it. You know, they don't want their user base to fall underneath traps and stuff and get hacked, but some third-party stuff is pretty legit and safe.
and more secure than Nintendo themselves.
Yeah, because modders themselves, you know, data miners and everything make stuff, especially if it's open source, anybody can access it and fix it and put patches on it, not just the developers themselves.
Yeah.
All right, we can move on. The next Sony production movie is a Resident Evil reboot.
Zach Greger, best known for the director of horror movie Barbarian and member of the comedy group The Whitest Kids You Know, is working on Resident Evil reboot movie. The Hollywood Reporter says that bidding war has erupted over who will distribute Krager's take on the classic Capcom survival horror game franchise. With Krager set to both write and direct the reboot, according to THR, four studios are bidding for the distribution rights, including Netflix and Warner Brothers. Krager is best known for his 2022 horror movie Barbarian, about a woman who books a stay in a rental house only to discover it hiding horrifying secrets. Which, it's a great movie, I've seen it.
Oh.
Krager already finished the work in his next film, Weapons, which his source has been testing very high with audiences. So this guy knows what he's doing, especially in the horror genre.
I think a Resident Evil movie would be a good movie. It's a zombie franchise, so they usually do pretty well if they're obviously made right. And if this guy knows what he's doing, especially when it comes to horror, like you said, then should be a pretty decent movie.
Did Resident Evil never get movies made for him? I thought they did back in the past.
They might have. I never watched any. If they did, I can't say for sure.
I was thinking they did.
So
yeah, they did.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I swore up and down they used to, like, back in way back. Well, not way back. Like, early 2000s. It's been a hot minute regardless.
Yeah.
It went down a rabbit hole. I don't want to shop. I just want to know when they actually came out. All right, we'll see what IBDM. Yeah. 2002 was when the first one came out.
Oh, okay.
And then, so total, actually there's six of them in total. The last one came out in 2016.
Nice.
They had Resident Evil, Resident Evil Apocalypse, Resident Evil Extinction, Resident Evil Afterlife, Resident Evil Retribution, Resident Evil The Final Chapter. So it's no longer The Final Chapter, but obviously that was a whole different director.
Yeah. Well, now there's going to be another one, so.
Yeah. It'd probably be a complete reboot of the series, and he's going to take his own take on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, the old Resident Evil movies, I think I watched the first two, and there was more action horror opposed to actual horror.
Yeah. Kind of like the game. Says other upcoming PlayStation production pictures include Until Dawn, Days Gone, Ghost of Tsushima, Gravity Rush, Helldivers, Horizon Zero Dawn, and an Uncharted sequel. It said there's also a God of War TV show, which we've talked about before, in the works, as well as a Ghost of Tsushima anime series recently announced. So Sony's bringing a lot of games to the big screen. Or your TVs for a TV show.
Yeah, which isn't surprising since Sony's, you know, has their been in the movie industry for a while.
Yeah. And then The Last of Us Season 2 should release here, I think, in the next few months. Can't remember exactly when they said. I think it may be April. I could be wrong, but sometime this year. Pretty sure it's first half anyway.
I may as well go live on this one too.
Yeah.
Potential 2025 release window. And this was the most recent one they have is in December.
Yeah.
Will be released in 2025. It's just no exact date.
I thought I seen one. It could have been for something else.
I see one for a couple weeks ago, potential. No, it still says. January update. Yep. Yeah. Anything we know about season two? It's going to be based on the Sega game, which I kind of figured.
Yeah. That's where I got April was The Last of Us Part 2 for PC is in April.
It'll also, both of them, April.
Okay.
HBO has confirmed The Last of Us Season 2 will premiere in April 2025.
Okay. Nice.
But their prediction on this website is the 13th to 20th, which is coincides with the actual game releasing. Well, doing the thing you said.
Yeah, for PC.
Obviously, it's already released.
Yeah.
For PlayStation a while ago.
Yeah. All right. Move on. Sega Forever could be coming back.
Initially launched to promote the company's range of classic titles on smartphones, Sega Forever morphed into a preservation project which truly celebrated the amazing history of the Japanese veteran company. The Sega Forever Twitter account regularly posted high-resolution artwork from company's vault, and one of the last things promoted before it went dark in 2023 was an amazing restoration of the Sonic statue that used to stand in London branch of Sega World.
Yeah.
Never heard of it until you sent it to me.
I hadn't either until I seen it on, I think it was Game Rant or something. But I guess I guess it some kind of subscription service they had at one point. But it got discontinued, but it could be coming back.
Get the Sonic statue back in London.
Yeah. That'd be cool to see.
Yeah. Wasn't that... I mean, I know it was the Sega branch in London, but that just makes me think of, like, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games when it was at London.
Yeah. That was in 2020? 16? I don't remember when they were in London.
Been a hot minute. Regardless,
I can't remember.
2012.
Wow.
As you say, I thought it was further than that. Because I remember the original game, Mario and Sonic the Olympic Games, came out in 08 because it was based in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
So, which means I say, probably promotional wise, that's probably when the statue got erected there. Would have been for that.
Probably. Yeah, it makes sense.
Because people was in London for the Olympics, may as well go to Sega and see the statue.
Yeah.
So there's really a game based on it.
I would have went and seen it.
Yeah. Never gone to the Olympics here, let alone in a different country.
No.
Although technically we are like just 50 countries just put in one.
Pretty much.
And how spread out everything is here.
Pretty much. I've been right at the Canada border, but not went in. All right. Move on. The next God of War game could be going to Egyptian mythology.
If it's true, I called it. Well, it was like a few months ago. I said that's probably the swing they'll take on it since they've already covered two different mythology types.
Yeah.
But the God of War Ragnarok ending saw, which spoiler, which I guess it technically is a spoiler to me too, because I haven't finished the game either. So you're right here in the boat with me. God of War Ragnarok ending saw Atreus leaving Kratos to reach for the giants. It's possible that Atreus' journey will see him reach Egypt and force him to go head to head with the gods of Egyptian mythology without his father's help. A God of War game without Kratos as the main character would be a huge gamble, especially since Atreus has had mixed reactions. But it would be interesting, to say the least. So, with that, not only is it potentially getting rid of Kratos for a little bit, it's also going to be focusing on Atreus, or I guess technically Loki, in that aspect of it.
To me, I don't know if that would be the case. To me, where yes, Atreus does leave Kratos at the end, to me, that's a good spot to do a spinoff for Atreus to continue the Norse mythology, finding the giants and stuff. Keep Kratos in the God of War game because he's the God of War. Because Atreus isn't the God of War. He's Loki, whatever. He's not the God of War. So really a God of War with Atreus being the protagonist isn't a God of War game. To me, it's a good spinoff series, but it's not the same. And I'd say that a lot of people probably wouldn't even get the game at that point. Yeah. So a lot of people wouldn't even get the game, I would say. So that'd be a bad choice on Sony or in Santa Monica Studios. So I think they'll probably keep Kratos in the Egyptian game for the main series and then do a spinoff for Atreus and Norse to finish his story or whatever.
Now here's the part I was telling you about earlier, the rabbit hole I was going to jump down.
Okay.
With this, regardless, whether it's Atreus or Kratos. So I was doing more things, because obviously playing Yu-Gi-Oh! As a kid and everything, having the Egyptian god cards. Because obviously we're talking about Egyptian mythology here. As a kid, obviously I never thought to put two and two together. But literally all three, well, technically two of the god cards are true in that nature. So you got Osiris, which is technically the sky dragon, Slifer. That's what it translates to. Don't know why it was so inappropriate, because other releases of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Decks outside of English speaking was Osiris is what it translated to. So don't know why Osiris was so inappropriate in the English language. But Osiris, which is like for the Sky Dragon, which is a potential thing they could fight, which I think that's technically Jupiter, is where they reside at from what little bit of studying I was doing into it. And technically the Ring Dragon of Ra, which Ra being the sun god itself, to their mythology, which I'm sure whoever winds up doing that will wind up fighting that. So technically he could have a little, you know, they could, Santa Monica Studios could throw a little dragon in there at protection to technically be the winged dragon of Ra from a Yu-Gi-Oh! Standpoint. And then Obelisk the Tormentor. Obelisks are technically just basically archways to get into the tombs. But Obelisk the Tormentor obviously is something that could be protecting their underworld. That's also another statement for it in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Aspects. So those are technically free boss fights that Santa Monica could come out and be like, okay, this could work, especially being both technically, because the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime being from Japan initially too.
Yeah.
And Sony, PlayStation being technically Japan-based, even though Santa Monica Studios is in Santa Monica, California.
Yeah, I never thought about it as
yeah.
a kid.
But those are three fights I could see potentially taking place. If not the Sky Dragon or Obelisk, I could see them fighting Raw directly or directly.
Yeah.
Because I believe in that mythology, Raw is the strongest god in that aspect.
Yeah.
Because sun goes out, what happens?
All right. Yeah. Nothing lives.
Exactly. So I can see that being a potential ending.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I just think it wouldn't be a good move to take Kratos out of the main series.
No.
Like I said, that'd be a great spinoff. I would play that spinoff game, but I can't say that I would play a main series game without Kratos.
I mean, they could even take an approach to where he has a different kid in Egypt.
Yeah.
Be like a long-lost kid.
I don't know. I don't know if... It would be kind of weird, I guess, not having somebody with you. But at the same time, you don't really need somebody with you because in the first... You know, Greek games, you didn't have anybody with you, but I know there was more hack and slash, but I mean, you could,
more story involved.
You could have somebody, I don't know, with you like Mimir or something. I mean, probably not him because different mythology, but something like that.
I mean, all mythologies are pretty similar. It's just renaming some characters, but the story for some of them are pretty similar.
Yeah. Because even Mimir, I mean, yeah, he comes in handy because he'll tell you, like, where an attack's coming from if you can't see it or something, if it's off screen or whatever, behind you or whatever. It comes in handy, but it's not necessary. Like, you don't have to have it. And Atreus, you know, in 2018, you know, he shot arrows at different enemies for you. You know, that's helpful to injure him or whatever, but at least it's not completely a must.
Yeah.
So.
Especially since its roots is in hack and slash.
Yeah. To me, it wouldn't be worth the gamble to remove Kratos altogether from the main series.
And, I mean, I'm sure if they wound up going whatever direction with it, it'll still probably be at least another 4 or 5 years before it even releases in the first place. So they'll really think about it in the meantime.
Yeah.
Because it's been technically 3 years since, you know, God of War Ragnarok released for the first time.
Yeah, because 2018 obviously came out in 2018, and then Ragnarok came out in 2022. That's a 4-year gap. So it's already been 3 years. But if they're just now starting development and everything, it'll be, like you said, probably another 4 or 5 with technology being more advanced now and better graphics and stuff.
What, God of War 3 came out in 2012? I'm not mistaken.
For PS3?
10. This is 2010.
2010.
So it had a 8-year gap. So I would be right on time frame if that is the case. Guessing. Being over 4 or 5 years from this point.
Yeah.
Be a 2030 release. With a whole new mythology if that's the case. Or next year, they could be like, screw it, we're still staying in Norse. Let's say on their 4-year gap, which I doubt it because I just don't see it. Because they technically don't have a next generation console, and they do try to do one per generation. Kind of like Nintendo does with Mario titles, right, or Zelda titles.
I'm thinking they had another game after 3.
For the PSP?
On the PS3. Let me see. Yeah, God of War Ascension in 2013 for the PS3.
I thought it was a Vita game.
No, PS3. Yeah, just the PS3, it says.
But it was like a 1.5 or 2.5, wasn't it?
I'm not sure. See if it's canon. Says it's worked on God of War Ascension. One and two reconfirms secondary canonicity. Okay, it's a prequel that takes place before the first God of War.
As you say, I figured it was being a prequel based and not anything after.
Yeah, it's a prequel.
Or been a 0.5 somewhere. So technically, it's before the first game, chronologically. Pulled off a Skyward Sword. Be one of the last games in the series, but it's the first one canonically.
And then they just completely rebooted 2018.
Well, whole different mythology.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Did you think they was technically in Greek for 10 years from 2000, well, 8 years from 2005 to 2013? Was the first God of War will be 20 years this year old this year?
Old. Yeah,
That's
came out in
nice.
2005.
Now I feel old.
Yeah. All right. We.
Rabbit hole, told you.
It's all right. Probably got time for one more. All right. So, a rare GameCube system goes up for auction. It's from the Space World 2000 show.
I spotted on IGN, the collector now has an eBay listing for the Space World announcement model going for a staggering $100,000. That's a lot of money for a console that doesn't even play games, but there is, it's for anybody wanting their own piece of gaming history. So what was so special about the Space World announcement model? I
It's
should know.
not the same, it's not the final version, so they kind of made tweaks and stuff after that, so it looks different, especially the controller. It looks different, like the B button's bigger, I think. Some of the collars on the controller are swapped. I think the B button's green.
Basically, when it was still like the dolphin.
It was just an early version of the GameCube, so just a prototype. So definitely rare and the only one of its kind, so that's why it went for $100,000.
Well, going, I don't think it's sold yet.
Yeah.
Oh, at least the time of my article.
It'll sell.
Oh, I guarantee it'll sell. Somebody has the money to
I was
collect it.
surprised they didn't ask for more, honestly.
Yeah, if it's a one of a kind, that means there's no duplicates or anything else. I
See
still don't
when
see how. I mean, I'm assuming Nintendo would have sold it to somebody in a day, or one of the old people from Nintendo just took it home with them and died and gave it to somebody else.
probably. I don't know how people come up with this stuff. You think Nintendo would keep that'd be something that they would keep to like put in
I
their
think it had
museum
other
that they
reasons.
have.
I
So
could
they
see
just
Nintendo just paying 100,000 back for it and put it in their museum.
Yeah. And then there's also, I mean, a bunch of GameCube development kits that would be sent to obviously companies to test their games on. You know, people are developing games for the GameCube back in the day. Those sell for a crap ton too, and they look weird and obviously can't play the discs. They run a certain hardware that they used for testing and stuff, so you can't actually play games on them. They sell for a lot too. And they come different
That's
colors and all kinds of stuff.
it's insane to me just how much the price tag is, though.
I mean, if I had 100,000 laying around, I'd probably buy it, but I was rich, but I'm not.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. That'd definitely be something cool to have in your collection, but
We get tax write-off.
yeah.
Not sure we can make it work.
Could. Like, so you bought this, but you don't even have the money for it, but you're trying to write it off. Well, yep.
Take out a loan for it.
Yeah. The bank could be like, why do you need this? Like, because I want it for my collection. They're like, okay, I got you.
We'll see it in the background.
Yeah. Only one of its kind. People watch just for that.
Piece of gaming history behind Ashton every single time, every week.
Yeah. But that's all the time we have. We appreciate you guys for listening. Follow all of our podcast socials, our Twitch, YouTube, Discord, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, pretty much all of them. Buy merch on Redbubble and print, I mean, TeePublic. Do you have anything?
That's it.
All
Later,
right.
guys.
Appreciate you guys.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.